The gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. You can find it on page 989 of the Pew Bible. And please stand again as you are able for the gospel. From Matthew 26, beginning at verse 17, we read in Jesus' name. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two gracious truths regarding the Lord's Supper which we must believe. Both of them were taught by Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And in order for us to receive this holy sacrament in a worthy manner, we must believe both of them. First, we must believe Jesus' words when he tells us what it is. It is his body and blood. And second, we must believe Jesus' words when he tells us what it does. It gives the forgiveness of sins. And so these two truths, what it is and what it does. If you believe these two things, you may eat and drink in a worthy manner. If you do not believe these two things, it would be better to not eat and drink. For Scripture teaches that you will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so this is a serious matter. You should believe Jesus' teaching of what it is and what it does. If you do not believe these two things, it is better not to come. Or, better yet, listen to Jesus' words, take him at his word, and then eat and drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the best thing to do. On the evening before his crucifixion, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. We refer to this as Maundy Thursday. But for Jesus and his disciples, they considered it to be Friday, or I guess what we call Friday, and the beginning of the Passover. While we officially mark days from midnight to midnight, Jews marked them from sundown to sundown. And so for them, a new day began at what we would consider to be about 7 o'clock in the evening. This time of year in Israel, the sun is going down half an hour ago. That means that the events we typically divide between Maundy Thursday and Good Friday all happened on the same day. The Passover meal, the prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus, the midnight trial before the high priest, the trial in the morning before Pilate, the beatings, the crucifixion, the death, and the burial. It all happened on the same day. It all happened before sunset on the first day of Passover. So when Jesus opens the Passover with his disciples by celebrating this meal, he is opening the day of his death. This is the beginning of Jesus' death day. The high point of the Passover was the meal on that first evening. It was a meal that remembered God's deliverance of Israel when he delivered them from Egypt. This took place about 1440 BC. On the evening before God led them out of Egypt, he commanded each household to sacrifice a lamb, paint the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of the house, eat the lamb along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and stay safely inside. That night, the Lord passed through Egypt and killed all the firstborn males, both of man and of beast. But he passed over every house with lamb's blood painted on the doorposts. Thus God passed over his people when he judged Egypt, and he gave them an opportunity to flee the country. The result was that the people of Israel were freed from Egypt and now belonged to the Lord. Then God instituted this Passover meal as a yearly remembrance of his deliverance. This is the meal Jesus celebrated with his disciples on that evening before his death. But Jesus was about to give it new meaning, or perhaps it would be better to say that Jesus was about to reveal the true meaning of it, which had always been there, though God had kept it somewhat hidden until now. The Passover meal, it was arranged in a specific order. It's what we might call a ritual or a liturgy. Now, Jesus, he was the leader of the Passover meal, so he was guiding his disciples through each part. There were appointed times to sing certain psalms, and there were appointed times for various cups of wine or bitter herbs or unleavened bread or the lamb. And all these took place in a certain order, and the host introduced all of them in a certain way. It was a ritual that was repeated almost exactly the same way every year. But on this particular Passover, Jesus broke order, and he made it all about himself. While they were already eating, and therefore already had the bread of the Passover, Jesus picked up bread again at the wrong time and spoke words that were not supposed to be part of the Passover liturgy. Now this, I imagine, must have caught the disciples off guard. What is Jesus doing? Doesn't he know this liturgy? I've heard it every year for my entire life, and this is not how it goes. Well, of course, Jesus knows what he's doing, but he's instituting a new liturgy, one that is clearly all about himself. He took bread. After blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And then he says the most unbelievable thing. Take, eat. This is my body. Luke's gospel adds the words, which is given for you. So, Jesus, you're saying that this bread is your body. That's right. And you want me to eat your body? Yes. Why? Because it's a gift to you. Okay. And then Jesus picked up a cup of wine. After giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said something that was equally unbelievable, yet also true. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now you're saying that this wine is your blood. That's right. And it's poured out. Yes. Kind of sounds like you're saying you're going to die. Yes. And if I drink it, I have the forgiveness of sins? Most certainly. Okay, then. So Jesus turned the Passover into something else. He handed his disciples bread that is his body and wine that is his blood. They ate it and drank it and received the forgiveness of sins. And thus Jesus instituted this sacrament to be repeated often as a remembrance of him. And then Jesus closed the Passover liturgy with a hymn, and he proceeded with the rest of the business appointed for his death day. In order for this sacrament to be what it is and do what Jesus says it does, Jesus had to proceed to the cross. His death is what makes all of this work. The Lord's Supper is not a magic hocus-pocus event where the incantation of certain words magically makes our sins disappear. It works because of the cross. It delivers to us personally the body and blood of Jesus that was crucified and risen. And that is why it forgives sins. The power is not in the words alone, but in the cross. The words are powerful because they bring the sacrifice of the cross to you. And this must be received by faith. In order to receive this sacrament in a worthy manner, there are certain things you must believe. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper together, we begin the Lord's Supper part of the liturgy with an exhortation, that is, instructions of what we must believe and do in order to receive in a worthy manner. And it's easy for us to treat these often spoken words as a mere formality and not really listen to them. But they are not mere formality. We speak them over and over again every time because they are important. Nothing in our liturgy is a mere formality. And I'm fully aware that our communion services can get long sometimes, and if we could think of something that doesn't really need to be there, then we could get rid of it. But when we look at each part, we say, no, that's important. That's worth the time that it takes. And the exhortation is one of those things. It takes a few minutes, it pushes everything back, but it's important for us to hear because this is so critical. The exhortation includes some very important instructions. In fact, Scripture warns that if you ignore those instructions, the Lord's Supper could actually be harmful to you. In order for the body and blood of Jesus to give you what Jesus promises, you must receive them in a worthy manner. To eat and drink in an unworthy manner only causes further judgment to come upon you. And we don't want judgment to come upon anyone. And so we tell you in the clearest way we know how what you must now believe and do in order to receive this holy sacrament in a worthy manner. So what does it mean to receive in a worthy manner? Does it mean that I have to do certain things in order to become worthy? Maybe fasting? Or does it mean that I have to clean up my act first? What if I am too sinful to deserve this sacrament? What does it mean to receive it in a worthy manner? First, it does not mean that we ourselves are worthy. We are not worthy. None of us deserve the Lord's body and blood. That's the whole reason why we need it. If we earned or deserved forgiveness, it wouldn't be forgiveness. But forgiveness, life, and salvation are given to unworthy sinners when they eat and drink in a worthy manner. And so it's not the person, it's not you who are worthy, it's the manner in which the person receives it that is either worthy or unworthy. So in order to receive the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, there are two things you must believe and two things you must do. We'll start with what we must believe. First, we must believe that it is what Jesus says it is. That is, we must believe that it is the true body and blood of Jesus. And sometimes we get funny looks when we try to explain this to other Christians. They might say, so you actually believe you are eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood? And we would say, yes. That's what Jesus says it is, and so we take him at his word. And if they say that's not possible, well, then we say, well, of course it's not possible. We know that, but that's not the point. It's also not possible for the whole deity of God to take a residence in human flesh, but he did. We call it Christmas, and if he can do that, he can also do this. We still might have all sorts of questions about how it works, and that's okay. We should be so captivated by the mystery that we want to know all about it. But at some point, we just stop and take Jesus at his word. His bodily presence in the sacrament is a miracle, and no one knows how miracles happen. They just happen. That's why they're miracles. It is Jesus' body and it is Jesus' blood because Jesus says it is. It doesn't mean that we eat him up like cannibals. We don't destroy Jesus when we eat his body and drink his blood. He is alive forever and he cannot be destroyed. And when you take the piece of bread in your hand, however small it is, it's not a tiny piece of Jesus' body. It is his body, like he says. And it's still bread at the same time. When you eat the bread, you receive all of Jesus' body that was given for you. And when you drink the cup, you receive all of Jesus' blood that was poured out for you. It's not like you get a little piece of Jesus. You get all of Jesus. When he gives himself, it's all of him, the whole thing. And with him, you get all of his benefits. And so this is the first truth that you must believe. It is what Jesus says it is. And here's the second truth that you must believe. You must believe that it does what Jesus says it does. That is, it forgives your sins. Again, we are simply taking Jesus at his word. Concerning the bread that is his body, he says, given for you. And concerning the wine that is his blood, he says, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It is simply a matter of taking Jesus at his word. When we receive his body and blood, we receive everything he accomplished with his body and blood when he was sacrificed for our sins. Right after instituting this Lord's Supper, he went out and he allowed himself to be betrayed, and he went and he gave his body into death for us, and he poured out his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That is what he did to give this supper the power of forgiveness. He went to the cross. The Lord's Supper works because it takes that body and blood that was crucified and risen and gives them to us. When we look at the cross, we are reminded of what Jesus did on his death day. And that cross is a symbol that reminds us of Jesus' crucifixion. And not just his crucifixion, but all of the events of that day. His betrayal, his trials, his beatings, the mockery, the death, the burial, and even his resurrection. It is a symbol that reminds us of what Jesus did to accomplish our salvation. That makes it a very good symbol. But that's not the real cross. It's a symbol of the one that Jesus died on. However, on that altar, the one you're looking at right now, you will find the true body and true blood of Jesus Christ. And though that bread, and through that bread and wine, God forgives our sins. We believe this because we take Jesus at his word. That's all there is to it. The Lord's Supper is what Jesus says it is, and it does what Jesus says it does. Those are the two things that we must believe about the Lord's Supper. And then Jesus gives us two commands. But do not worry. These are not burdensome commands. They are the most gracious commands you will ever hear. The first one is eat, and the second is drink. And that's all. Jesus has prepared this feast of salvation, and he invites you now to come and receive everything he has accomplished for you. This is his body given for you. This is his blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Come, eat and drink and live forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.